was despised and by men forsaken, a man of sorrows. The hand of grief he has shaken, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, with no esteem, disgraced. Surely our grief he himself bore. As for sorrows, it was for us they were carried for. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, afflicted, and by the hand of God smitten. But for our transgressions he was pierced through. For our iniquities he was crushed too. It was on him that the chastening for our well-being fell, and by his scourging that we were made well. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. But as for all of our rebellious sin, he has caused it to fall on him.
God's grace, his mercy, and his peace belong to us because of the love of God the Father, put into action through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And all God's people say, amen. Let's hear the gospel for the day. Luke 22, 39 through 46, the words also on the screen. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." This is the word of our God. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, is skydiving on your bucket list? I got to tell you, it is not on mine. Maybe it's a little bit too much of my mom and me. Why die because of your bucket list? You know, you jump out the plane and you hit the tail on the way down. Not good. You jump and the chute doesn't open, tangles in somebody else's. You're coming in hot and there's this oak tree you just slam into and hello, Jesus. Right? Sounds fun till someone gets hurt, my mom would have said. So, bottom line, if I don't have to jump, I will not. And you're looking at a roller coaster guy, right? Does life ever feel like God is asking us to jump out of an airplane? Where God is asking us to jump out of an airplane and we say, "Lord, you know, that's a long way down. A lot could happen, like death. I don't think I want to do this. I never have wanted to do it. I will not jump." But does life ever feel like God is practically pushing you out the door? You can't control what's happening. Life is rushing at you. A loved one goes home to heaven at a young age, long before you expected, and you didn't have a chance to say goodbye. The diagnosis, "Doc, you can't mean me." Or the downsizing at work, and yet the line says, "Too old, no longer able to meet requirements." Whoa! And for some of us weaker souls, senior citizen discount did it. Life rushing at us, the air in our faces, a long way down, the jump into the unknown, inevitable. And we're like, "God, really? Are you there?" Life happens. We know that. And submission to the will of God takes faith. Trust that the will of God is always best. Jesus models for us that kind of trust as he invites us along into the Garden of Gethsemane today to his leap of faith. What he needed to do to save us. Something that only he could do, so that you and I, by faith in him, will never have to do. You see, Jesus jumped out that door into the open space, this big open space, in a long free fall to hell itself and back. And he went by himself. He had to. He went determined because he loved like no one else. But he also went with anguish as God and man, because sin and death was not his. It was ours. Yet he shouldered it for us anyway. Total separation from the love of his Father, hell, was ours. But he took it off of our plate anyway. He jumped into his Father's will. He had to save us. But also to teach us something today about submitting to the will of his Father, the will of God that is always best. We're told, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives and his disciples followed him. He said, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." In other words, be proactive, stand ready to do God's will. So I have to ask you, looking at all this expensive equipment, how is your bat swing these days, right? Okay, how is your bat swing these days? Because doing the will of God is a lot like a batter in the batter's cage, looking for a pitch to hit. The Christian wakes up every day and knows that it is her job or his job to swing at whatever pitch God sends us that way. And you know, there are 10 commandments, 10 different pitches God can send our way. And it is our job, depending on the person and the thing and the kind of love we're supposed to give, to hit that pitch. Think of what we're told in Ephesians 2, verse 10, where the Apostle Paul writes, "We are God's handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God places people and tasks before us every day, asking us just to hit the pitch and do his will. And so the Christian wakes up every day and says, "Okay, God, I'm up and at 'em. Here I am. I'm in the batter's box. Give me some pitches to hit. Patience with my children before school. Oh, that's an easy one. Little blooper to right center. Oh, you know, hey, prayer time with God in the Starbucks drive-thru. Oh, a little bunt on the third base line. Easy. Pondering only how beautiful my wife is today. Oh, let's see. Left, right, left corner. Boom, triple. Can do that one, God. Loving my coworkers unconditionally as you have loved me, that's tougher, God. Let's just go for a little zinger up the middle. Oh, and keeping you as the center of my being, God, I want a home run for that. Give me a nice fastball down the middle. Let's see what we can do. Because I want to be your man who's proactive in doing your will. Give me a pitch I can hit. Jesus, in the garden, models being proactive, looking for pitches to hit, avoiding temptation. He was in that batter's box that day. He was in the batter's box every day, just like you and me. His goal that he accomplished was to bat 1,000 for you and me, perfection in our place. The disciples, they were in the batter's box too every day, but on this day, it's almost like they're in the on-deck circle, waiting to bat because something new was coming their way, a temptation they had never seen before. Would they stand with Jesus? Would they walk with Jesus to his death and even theirs, as they had bragged about so boastfully in the safety of the upper room? Or would they, in fear and in betrayal, turn and run? Peter would hear, "Surely you are one of them." That's Pastor Bonach's message for next week. But Jesus said, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation, disciples of God." Be proactive. Stand ready to do the will of God. Lord, just give me something to hit. But if you have lived enough years, You know that life lived in the batter's box is not only about the day-to-day doing of the will of God, keeping the commandments of God, loving God's will, trying to hit every pitch, repenting when we fail to hit or when we leave, don't even pick the bat up off the ground, receiving God's forgiveness in Jesus and his blood shed for sin, so that as we step up to the plate, the scoreboard announcer says, and now coming up to bat, Nathan Strobel batting 1,000. Wow, the blood of Jesus is awesome. But what happens when God sends us a pitch, a thing, coming right at us that feels more like looking out the door of an airplane? God, is this really your will? That is a long way down, and God, I don't know if you noticed, but somebody could get hurt. Jesus was in the batter's box when the time came for him to do the work that only he could do, suffering for the sins of the world. Jesus knew what was coming, and both his human nature and his divine nature were repulsed at the thought of being separated from the love of his Father. Jesus and his Father did not make us to die. They made us to live. Death was never intended by God to be a part of the human experience. Jesus saw the physical suffering coming at him in the crucifixion. He saw the spiritual suffering of being separated, his existence separated from the love of his Father. And in the middle of all that, he focuses on you and me, to a large degree, planning and demonstrating how to plan for God's will by proactively addressing it in prayer to our Father. He prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. This cup of suffering with its bitter dregs, if you are willing, take it from me. The prayer of the believer trusts the heart of God to love us, to hear us, and to potentially throw us a different pitch than he had planned. Maybe a nice one up the middle, easier to hit, lightening the load. Or maybe a miraculous walk, a free pass to first base as he takes the burden off of us completely. James, the writer of the epistle, says this in his letter, you do not have because you do not ask God. My friends, the children of God pray for miracles. That God would throw us something else out of his pitch selection or just give us that free pass to first base. But you and I also know that God doesn't always call us to just take care of the easier, the routine, the expected life of a Christian. Sometimes he asks us not to deal with the easier, but with the truly difficult for us to help him love someone else in life. Take Andrew, for example. Andrew signed up to do God's will. He signed up to marry a young woman and be a husband to her. But then God threw them a curveball that they did not see coming until it blasted across the plate. A child born with cystic fibrosis. 5 years into their marriage and some time into this new challenge, Andrew got tired of swinging. And he told his wife, I did not sign up for this. I am stepping out of the batter's box. I am walking away. True story, he did. I do not see your blessing in this, God. I do not see your plan, and I will not jump. No way. Which begs the question, is God only blessing us when you and I can see it? And are you and I ready to pray dangerously as Jesus prayed? Not my will, but yours be done, O Lord. Do you see the subtle shift in Jesus' words and his will? He went from addressing God and his will to embracing it. We read, "An angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood. And he rose from prayer, went back to his disciples, found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. 'Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation.'" I don't know about you, but I have two thoughts. What did the angel do to strengthen Jesus? And to what end did the angel strengthen him? Did the angel give him an aspirin for his headache and some cool spring water for his mouth and throat and face? Seriously. Was the angel there for emotional support? At least one of God's creatures whom Jesus had made caring about what was going on. Was the glory of his Father visibly present, shining through that angel to warm Jesus' being? Was there a miraculous shot of adrenaline that got his mind and his body prepared for the journey that was only hours or really moments away? I don't know the answers to those questions, but we can deal with the second thought. To what end did the angel strengthen him? Then he prayed more earnestly, and then he rose from prayer. The angel strengthened Jesus somehow for him to embrace his Father's will and step forward in faith. "Father, this is your will, to save them. I claim it as my own." And Jesus saw exactly what was coming. Not a routine pitch in the batter's box, more like looking out the door, an open door of an airplane. His father deserting him. No shoot. The torments of hell, betrayal by friends, rejection by his own creation, salt in an already open and raw wound. Yet Jesus loved us so much that he stepped forward in faith, prayed as he embraced his Father's will, soldiered on so that the world would see that the will of the Father is always best. And so he prayed. Think about that. Matthew's version tells us that when Jesus prayed, he fell with his face to the ground. The ultimate humility before his God and Father. Have you or I ever prayed with that kind of ultimate humility? In the fetal position, under the covers in the dark of night, sleep escaping us hour after hour after hour, and begging, "Father, I am afraid to step into your will. Please give me a different pitch to hit. Remind me that Jesus died for me. Help me to trust that you don't punish your children because you punished Jesus for me. And Father, if it's really your will that I jump, will you jump with me? My Jesus had to jump alone, but I can't. I am not strong enough. Help me to pray as he taught me, 'Not my will, but yours be done, O Lord.' Help me to trust your will, O Father. Help me to embrace it, and help me to step out in faith and into action." And the gospel writers tell us that Jesus stepped into action. He rose from prayer, found his disciples, and Matthew's version says, "Let us go. Here comes my betrayer." But in the midst of all that, Luke wants us to remember that Jesus never stops coaching us, his disciples. In the midst of his anguish, he said, "Get up and pray so that you will be ready. Father, give me a pitch I can hit so that you will not fall into temptation." Friends in Christ, what is our purpose being alive with faith in Christ as our Savior? Is it not to embrace the will of God to act in thanksgiving for the salvation he has given us and to shine with his light so that the world may see him and know him? Sometimes I think that we are tempted to think too much like an American and not enough like a Christian. We might think that our lineage and as Americans entitles us to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And God certainly wouldn't ask me to deal with anything really difficult now, would he? We might forget that even the Son of God did not appear on our planet to live a life of leisure. He came to live 33 short years in service to you and me. He said, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We do know, don't we, that there are Christians who live all across the face of this globe, right? Did you know that there are 3 billion people who live every day on less than $2.50? Many of them are Christians. 2.1 billion people live without access to water. 1 in 7 go hungry every day. 3.5 billion don't have access to essential health care. Many of them are Christians. If you fall asleep every night, not afraid of dying or being killed in the middle of the night because of the dangers around you, do you realize how unique that is on the face of the planet? Many Christians trust their God but fall asleep every night in fear. And now I lay me down to sleep takes on a whole new meaning. The blessings that we have are just that. Blessings from God Most High that we don't deserve, but he gives them to us. And we don't have them because of who we are or where we live. It's the grace, the mercy of God. So how would we react if those blessings, the blessings of this life, were suddenly gone, and there we are standing at the open door of the airplane, and we're looking out onto our extreme poverty. My disease with a cure, but there's no one to help. Living in fear every moment, day and night. And we're not sure we have a chute, and we cry out, really, God, are you there? How will we handle it when we feel the blessings of this life slipping away from us, as death begins to strip us of everything we have ever known? What will we do if God throws us a curve and dramatically changes our life so all of a sudden we are serving another in a way we never expected, or others are serving us in a challenge we never would have chosen? Are we ready to trust our Father in heaven as Jesus did when he stood at the door of the plane? His trust in his Father and what he accomplished inspires in me trust for my God and the prayer to ask for the readiness to be ready to take whatever he sends my way, even if someday it's, Nate, go, jump. And my prayer for you is that God's love in saving you inspires you to trust him that the will of God is always best. And when we don't, when we miss, when we leave the bat lying, we remember that Jesus jumped and his love saved us and our sins are forgiven. In God's eyes, we are batting 1,000 to the glory of him. Do you remember that bucket list? Skydiving will never be on my list, bottom line. And the older I get, truth be told, the shorter I am making my bucket list. I don't want to be distracted from being ready to hit the important pitches that God may send my way. I don't want to become so self-focused that I balk when God sends me a curve I wasn't expecting. Father in heaven, as you pitched to Jesus, so pitch to me. Give me pitches that I can hit to your glory and to the love of others. And if, Father, you ever ask me to jump out of an airplane, I will. Because the will of God is always best. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, in this Lenten season, the time for your church to reflect on your suffering and your death, we thank and praise your holy name that your pain was our gain. You looked out the door of an airplane with a drop that we never have to experience. Hell will never be mine because it is yours. It was yours. And you left it in the past, and your blood has forgiven my sin, and I will never have to do the thing that repulsed you. Thank you for that. And may that be the fuel in my heart and in my mind and in my life to always trust the will of your Father, that in all things he is working for our good. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the unrivaled blessings that we enjoy in our society and culture that just spoil the living daylights out of us. We thank you for them. But we ask that you would help us to never take them for granted. Be willing to give them all up if you ask, but to use them now to love people in the world. For that's what you came to do. You emptied yourself, your pain, our gain, that we might have eternity, everything, with you forever. Forgive us for the times when we miss as we swing to hit your will. Forgive us for the times that we literally leave the bat lying on the floor, don't want to pick it up. Help us to know that you never did that, Jesus, when you walked this earth. You did your Father's will perfectly, and you gave us your batting record. You went to hell and came out alive of the grave to prove that we don't have to go to hell, that hell, that death will not keep us, that we will live with you one day in heaven. Thank you for being that ultimate pinch hitter for us. And help us as we look at our world to remember why we are here, and help us to love as you have loved. All those thoughts, Heavenly Father, we bring together, and let's pull it together, people. Lord's Prayer, traditional version. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and always give you his peace. Amen.